the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Coming up, Nicole tells your fortune looking ahead. So get out your crystal and stay tuned with Mistress Nicole. All dressed in leather, you won't forget her. You want to love her and you won't let go. Who's that woman, crazy woman, Nicole?
Had a friend named Scrambling Don. He tried to pull off an electoral con. He thought he was the smartest guy around. He was a megalomaniac and got indicted by a guy named Jack. They've got him under federal lockdown. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now.
Yeehaw!
Well, I told him, have some sense. You can't send them out to hang Mike Pence. He's in the jailhouse now. Oh, MAGA ole, oh, MAGA ole, ole, MAGA ole. Don made a call to Georgia to find an election forger, but Raffensperger wouldn't even sway. He said in his southern drawl, "We're recording your perfect call, and Fonny says it will put you away." He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. Well, they told him many times he'll be on the hook for those RICO crimes. He's in the jailhouse now. Oh, MAGA ole, oh, he. Oh, MAGA ole, ole.
The following program.
Oops, wrong one. I meant to play the applause, but I had the wrong thing up because I was all ready for Laffy. A new song parody guy that I just found. I don't know how new he is, but new to us because I just found him today. His name is Patrick Fitzgerald, and he did a bunch of songs from. Oh God! What was the name of that movie? Oh God! You know the movie that was from. I can't think of it now. Those guys. Anyway, somebody in the chat room will know. Damn it! I hate a brain fart. I hate when this happens. But you know, such is my life now. All right, so, here we are. It is a Tuesday, and so you know what that means, don't you? Let's do this, do that, do that. Oh, and now I got to put it back to there and do this.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with a lap on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, brother, where art thou? Thank you, BB, in the chat room. I knew that's what
it
was.
Of it either.
I couldn't think of it. Just one of those brain farts. But how great was that? Now, Laffy knows. You know, I'm scattered so much these days because between the move and the everything else going on, and I realized I'm sitting here like slaving over my hot studio, putting together 15 shows to get us through 3 weeks that, you know, that I'm guessing I won't be doing a daily live show because we'll be driving across country and all that. And so I reached out to our friend Lauren Mayer, but too late about, you know, maybe doing a new open for those special shows when I'll be on the road. And she can't do it. And she's like, well, maybe I could do something over the weekend. But I'm like, no, I need it today because, you know, and so, and I didn't even ask Boca because she hasn't been feeling great. And I don't want to put her on the spot because anytime I ask Boca to do anything, she does it. And I don't want to put her in that position. So I did it myself. Now, Laffy, you heard it.
I heard the vocals.
Because you can't hear when I play shit there. All right.
I miss all the fun little bouncy stuff.
I know. Before we get into it, you guys want to hear my production, or do you want to just wait until next Monday when I start playing it? I'm waiting
Me?
For the chat room. But, you know, I'm asking the chat room, but there's a delay. So, all right, I'm going to play it for you so that you're not shocked when you hear
it. I've only heard it 15 times now.
Well, we had to revise it because David pointed out something in the lyrics that I was not okay with. So I had to change one last lyric of it. But again,
one word,
just one word. Damn it. So anyway, it's done now. So this will open the shows. Now, again, I'm usually when somebody goes on vacation or they're going to be off the air for any amount of time, what they usually do is just play, you know, the shows from the previous week or two. But I can't do that. If I'm going to call it a best of, it needs to be like good. It needs to be best of. So I'm going through and let me share. You want to, you see my grid? These are the shows
That's
I have planned.
Grid.
Isn't that a good grid? So
it
those are the
grid.
Shows I have planned. So we're going to start on Monday with the interview that I just recorded last week with Heather Cox Richardson, because she's got this new book coming out. It's published. It'll be out a week from Tuesday. It'll be out a week, 2 weeks from today on the 26th. But I'm going to play it. They asked me to hold it till closer to publication. So I'm going to kick off these few weeks of special shows. See, I'm not calling them reruns, or I'm calling them special shows because they really are. That, and then there's some minutes left over at the end. I have an interview that I did with the Reverend Dr. William Barber at Netroots Nation in Detroit in 2014. So
oh my God.
That will round out that hour with two people that I so respect and admire. So that'll be that. On Tuesday, the 19th, we're going back for a slice of history. The very first time I decided to call a hotel in a foreign land to try to get a take on what's happening, I called I called Egypt. I called Tahrir Square at just as the Arab Spring was starting, as that was happening. And I got a guy at a Marriott in Cairo who was awesome. So we're going to play that, a good chunk of that episode, followed by when I called Iran. And how timely is this that we now are making this trade for prisoners deal with Iran? I called Iran. It was right after the former guy had that general assassinated, and it looked like we were going to war with Iran. And I just wanted to talk to a regular person and let them know that we want peace over here, that we don't want to go to war with them. So that'll be the show on Tuesday, the 19th. On Wednesday, the 20th, famed prosecutor Vincent Bugliosi.
Oh my God.
And the reason, I've interviewed him, I did before he died, a number of times, and he was wonderful. And the reason he popped into my mind not too long ago was that I believe what Fani Willis is doing, Vincent Bugliosi would be applauding. Oh. He'd be so thankful because he wrote this book, The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. And what it was he laid out the case on how any DA in any state where people were killed in Iraq could sue using this case that he laid out in this book, sue George W. Bush for murder.
I wish they would have.
I know. So it's a great conversation with him. I loved Vincent Pugliosi.
He was amazing.
Excellent. And then on Thursday, I have tape of the first time I ever guest hosted the Tom Hartman show. It was right after WINZ in Miami fired me from mornings, and Tom asked me to fill in for him. And lo and behold, one of the callers was Jesse Jackson. He was listening and he called in. So it's very cool. So I have that. And then that's for half of it. And Manuel Oliver, who you might remember, his son was killed in the Parkland shooting. So he's a neighbor of mine. And he did this thing in Las Vegas. It's street theater. I know a lot of the listeners will remember. They rented out this big field and held this graduation. And I forget what it's called. You got to listen to the interview.
Oh, yeah.
But the forgotten class. And basically, they had seats for all the kids who were killed by guns in that year. And they ostensibly were having a dress rehearsal where they had these speakers from the NRA speaking to this crowd, this sea of empty chairs. So it was very moving. Manuel Oliver will be there. And then I figured we'd wrap up that first week with, you know how I've been doing the ketamine therapy. And this is, you know, I've told you that I've been interested in this for a long time. Well, I went back and found an interview. I think it was from like 2010. It was at least 10 years ago. And it was the head of MAPS. And that I had read an article about how this organization, and don't ask me what MAPS, the acronym stands for, because I can't remember. But it is the organization that deals with psychedelics for mental health reasons. And they had just released this study on how they were using MDMA and other psychedelics to treat post-traumatic stress in returning veterans, and how and the research was really panning out. This was over a decade ago. So just to show you that it's not anything new, I'm not just jumping on a trend. I've really been following this for a long time. So I've got that. And then a few people have asked for some, music interviews. And we can do that because, you know, I just won't put them up on the YouTube. And Alanis Morissette, I think it was like 2020. What year was this? Like 96, I think. Her album had just come out, and it was that day. It was 9/8/95, September 18th, 1995. So 28 years ago, this next week, I got to sit down with a very young Alanis Morissette, and really, I was one of her early supporters and helped break her record. So she came in and did this very in-depth interview with me. I'm going to have to figure out what to do with the YouTube that day because this can't go out because we play a lot of the songs. But anyway, that's the first week. So I'm doing this for 3 weeks. So I needed an intro to play. So that was my... So in the rest of the week, I'll fill you in on the other 2 weeks. And then I will post the grid or the schedule so you know which ones are coming up. But I promise you, it's going to be...
It's called a calendar.
It's a calendar. Yes, it is a calendar. I'll post the calendar. It is a grid. It's a grid, but it's a calendar. Yeah. I got it. Yeah. Anyway, so I needed a new open. So don't mind the singing, but here's what I put together today. Ready? You ready? Ready?
Ready? I'm ready.
Uh-oh.
No, it doesn't want to. Well, I'm moving on out of Florida, headed for Arizona, where we'll stay. Moving on out of Florida, to a place where it's okay to say gay. AZ didn't vote for the fascists, but Florida certainly did. I know things there won't be perfect. I'm really gonna miss my kid. While we're driving cross country, there still are shows to be done. So I'm pulling interviews you may not have heard, and I hope you listen to everyone while we're moving on out of Florida to Arizona, where it's hot as hell. I'll take the sauna over the steam room to escape that Ron DeSantis fascist smell.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, it wasn't not horrible, ooh, right? I mean, look, I don't sing, but, you know, except in the shower.
And yeah, it was good. I mean, like, you carried the tune and you got the words right and you did the syllables right. Thank you.
Yes. I put the syllables accent on the correct syllable.
You did it on the correct syllable. Drives me nuts because I used to write song parodies for years. And I did them for stage.
Big Hook, what? Whoever that is, said, glad someone liked it.
Oh, that's nice. Well, maybe they should listen to the show then.
Okay, be that way. Be that way. Hey, I tried. It. Thank you.
And
thank
I you. Own it. I own that I like it.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You
tell them.
There. Huh. Hi-ho song. Who are you, Big Hook? Are you new? So you come in here and you criticize me. It's fine. That's okay. Be that way. That's all right. That's all right. Yeah. So, we got stuff. Laffy, do you?
We got so much stuff.
I got so much stuff to me.
Okay. To read. To tell you. To read and to tell you.
Okay.
Tell you and to read. All right. Well, are we doing any kind of like intro or do I just go for it?
Well, we haven't done this in a while.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
We should call it the shit spot, but that's okay. We'll need to update that too.
True. So. I couldn't hear the last part, so I'm glad you chimed in and let me know it was time to talk.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Well, first I'm gonna just open up with that the CDC gave its blessing to with a new COVID vaccine, and said was it's for age. Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear it.
I wanted the ding, and it started to play the fuck you song. But no, the COVID is a ding. Yeah. Sorry.
Like the fuck you saw. No, that's not appropriate right now. Anyway, it's for ages 6 months and up, so people are not limited as they were afraid they would be. And it says here that the CDC director, Dr. Mandy Cohen, because that's important to say, she said that the new vaccines, quote, will be available in pharmacies within 48 hours of her sign-off, which was today. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been calling pharmacies all day. I've been calling every pharmacy, every major pharmacy you can imagine. None of them know when it's coming in.
Right.
So I made an appointment at CVS for the 18th because that was their first available date. But I'm hoping to get it like Thursday or Friday if they're going to start sending it out.
Yeah, here's my problem with that. I've gotten every booster, every vaccine they made available, and we have avoided COVID in this house. So don't give me shit. I see people on the shitter, you know, bitching about it. Well, too bad. Yes, I'm going to get. Here's my problem though. Every time I get one, I do get a reaction where I feel really lousy for a couple of days.
Yeah, me too.
And so I usually get them on a Friday so I can have the weekend to recover and I'll be back and fighting for them on Monday when I have to work. And, but see, we're moving, in case you hadn't heard. And the pod thing is being delivered on Friday. We're going to be loading it all weekend. And then we're going to hit the road, Jack. So I don't want to get it before we have to load the truck because I don't think David would appreciate it if I couldn't, you know, put any boxes in the pod.
Your poor arm.
Right.
Yeah.
But then when we start driving, do you really want to be in a car with me for 2 days when I feel shitty? Well, he just came in. I'm not going to be in a car with you for 6 days when you think you're going to die. Well, it wouldn't be 6 days. It would be, you know, probably two because that's how long the side effects usually last for me. But I don't know. I got to figure it out. Because, you know, I'm still a youngin', and so I'm not on the Medicare yet. And my insurance is through the exchange, and I have insurance with Florida Blue. Well, guess what? My insurance won't work in Arizona. So once we get out there, I'm going to have to get new health insurance. And it'll be a while before that kicks in. So if I'm going to get vaccinated and want to do it, you know, or sooner rather than later, I need to do it before we go. So that's my new conundrum.
Well, we're leaving for Canada on the 21st.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to make sure I got mine. I'm just excuse me because I'm tweeting some or not tweeting. I'm tooting.
You're tooting on the Mastodon.
I'm tooting while I'm on air. Now I got to find it for you. Fox sued by New York City pension funds over election falsehoods.
Oh,
the funds accused the Fox Corporation board of neglecting its responsibility to shareholders by leaving the company open to defamation lawsuits. So I'm not going to read the whole article. I just gave you the headline, and I'm obviously not going to sit here and read it on the air. But yeah, so yays.
Well, this is interesting. Dar in the chat room says an immunologist from Columbia, Dr. D. Griffin, recommends people get the new COVID and flu vaccines at the end of October or early November to help protect against COVID for the holidays and help throughout winter. And I see, is it Lauren? Lauren just got her fourth booster like 3 weeks ago. So you got the bivalent.
Yeah, she,
this is a new one, they, and you're going to have to wait.
Yeah, this is the new one.
You're going to have to, they're not going to give it to you. Yeah, you'll have to wait a couple of months before you get the new one.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I understand. Like I usually wait to get my flu shot for like end of September, early October for that reason. But it lasts through no matter what I do. You know, if I get it now, which I would like to get it before we leave, I would rather get it now because I'll be exposed to more people than usual. Yep. So
yeah, I know. Yeah. That's how I'm feeling too. I mean, we'll be exposed to people in Arizona.
That's
we have to find a place to live. So we'll be going in and out of a lot of places. So
yeah, yeah. Us too. We go all the way up the coast and we get through some pretty red areas. And you know.
Talk about red areas. So we got the map that you know we're going to follow. It's just the 10.
Is bad. But it's yours is like toxic.
Up through the Florida panhandle, which is you know DeSantis country. Then you enter Alabama, then Mississippi and Louisiana. And Texas.
That's bad.
It's like, oh,
that's
my
just
God.
Bad.
Oh, my God. That's why I said just we are going to be driving the speed limit, obeying every traffic, every stop sign. No rolling stops for us. Yeah.
And look extra white and Christian.
Well, we do look white. I don't know how I can do the Christian
thing. You've got to look. Get a blonde wig.
All right. Put a Jesus Saves little bumper sticker on the car.
Yeah,
or something.
Jesus Saves. And look very pious. In other words, imitate former Vice President Pius McKissass.
Yeah,
just imitate him. You'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
Mommy, okay, mommy. Do okay, I call so David Daddy then? That's kind of
no,
sleazy.
No. Please don't do that. No. please don't do that.
No,
okay,
I won't.
Here's a shorty. This is from CNN. Trump is facing another 14th Amendment candidacy challenge. This time it's in Minnesota. There's a whole bunch of them.
Good.
It's not going to happen because you're going to end up going to the Supreme Court and they're not going to honor it. You know, they're going to look at it and go, you guys, you're so funny. You're just so cute. But it's good that it draws attention to it. It educates the public a little bit. And why not give them a run for their money? You know, why not?
Why not?
Because he did start an insurrection, and he was partook.
Uh-huh.
He partooken. But the problem is they would have to prove somehow that he did that. And since Jack Smith isn't proving it in court, that wasn't one of his accusations in court legally, although he kind of talks right around it and almost right through it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it would, you know, stand up against the Supreme Court, which is
who
you know,
knows.
Ridiculous.
And the Supreme
just
Court.
Ridiculous.
Oh my God. Did you see Heidi Prisbala? Her story.
Yeah.
Oh, talk about a blockbuster. Holy
shit.
Boy,
does she know her stuff. She was talking away about this story. I don't have it up. It's not one of my stories, but it's very convoluted. You know, it's about SCOTUS money. Like,
oh yeah.
Dark
and Leonard Leo. And yeah. Oh,
she was rattling off facts and people and pathways of money and things. I couldn't keep up. I don't know how she had all that in her head, because if I had it on paper, I'd have trouble reading it. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's that convoluted. But boy, she was good.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess I'll go into impeachment. I'm going to start with this tweet. Yes, it is a tweet.
Okay.
Because I do see tweets. So
it's
Sawyer
a poop.
Hackett,
actually, it's a poop. It's not a tweet anymore.
A
the bird's
You're
gone,
right.
And it's the shitter. So it's a poop.
It's a poop.
Yeah.
It's a duty. It's a little duty.
She said duty.
And Sawyer Hackett's duty. Sawyer Hackett is a Democratic strategist and consultant, and he said Speaker Kevin McCarthy just launched an impeachment inquiry into President Biden without a vote in the House.
Mm-hmm.
This tweet is in this was when it was still a tweet, is still up on his account. And his tweet, Kevin McCarthy's tweet from September 24th. So I guess it, 2019.
Uh-huh.
Here's the tweet from Kevin McCarthy. Here are the facts. One, Speaker Pelosi can't decide on impeachment unilaterally. It requires a full vote of the House of Representatives. And then two, the House has voted three times on articles of impeachment. Each vote failed. Three, for the Democrats, this is all about politics, not about facts. So he's doing the exact opposite, or well, let's just say he's doing exactly what he accused Pelosi of doing, which of course is standard operational procedure, operating procedure for these fascists to do exactly what they accuse everybody else of doing. They project, they everything's a confession that they, you know, I could repeat my old thing, my old standard over and over. Everything out of their mouths is a lie,
projection.
And or projection and confession and
that's
or
right.
confession.
That is.
So that's what he did. Closing the tab on that one.
Yep. Amazing.
Okay.
Yep.
Now comes for the my big page of stuff for you.
Jerry, hold
thing.
On, Jerry and or Allison in the chat. That's a new one. Hi, welcome to our chat, Jerry and or Allison, and they spelled Allison correctly. Wrote, it's not a tweet; it's an excretion.
Oh, that's right. I've heard that. I keep forgetting.
I hadn't heard
it
that before.
Excretion.
That's good. It is an excretion.
That makes perfect sense, by
the
way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have something that I sent you. It's a little clip of Matt Gaetz
the
House floor.
Yes, it is.
And if you play it, then after you're done, I'll read two reactions.
Okay, so this happened today on the House floor. I don't know how this Neanderthal, and just look at his forehead. He's a Neanderthal.
He is. He's the creepiest looking guy.
Really,
oh my God.
How he is still in the House, and he got away with, he's a predator, but okay, here we go.
On this very floor in January, the whole world witnessed a historic contest for House Speaker. I rise today to serve notice. Mr. Speaker, you are out of compliance with the agreement that allowed you to assume this role. The path forward for the House of Representatives is to either bring you into immediate total compliance or remove you pursuant to a motion to vacate the chair.
A motion?
We have had no vote on term limits or on balanced budgets as the agreement demanded and required. There's been no full release of the January 6 tapes, as you promised. There has been insufficient accountability for the Biden crime family.
Wait a minute.
And instead of cutting spending to raise
the January 6 tapes, which Kevin McCarthy gave to what's his name? Fucker Tarlson? Those January 6 tapes? Oh, right. They're in the hands of somebody who's not even at Fox now. He does a show on Twitter. That's who has the full January 6th, just in case you were wondering.
He got banished.
Yes. Okay. But he's got those tapes. Matt, talk to your buddy Tucker.
Forget limit.
Did you finish
you
the tape?
You relied on budgetary gimmicks and rescissions so that you ultimately ended up serving as the valet to underwrite Biden's debt and advance his spending agenda.
Ooh.
Mr. Speaker, you boasted in January that we would use the power of the subpoena and the power of the purse. But here we are, 8 months later, and we haven't even sent the first subpoena to Hunter Biden. That's how you know that the rushed and, you know, somewhat rattled performance you just saw from the speaker isn't real. At this point, during Democrat control over the House of Representatives, they had already brought in Don Jr. three times. And we haven't even sent the first subpoena to Hunter Biden.
This power is so wrong.
And power
this is
of the purse.
So wrong.
Only thing the 118th Congress is known for at this point is electing Kevin McCarthy Speaker and underwriting Biden's debt. And unfortunately, there's only one of those things we can remediate at this time. Power of the purse. Our
power of the purse.
Okay, so Ron Filipkowski, I don't know if it was a tweet or a tweet. It was probably a tweet. Or
whatever.
Whatever
he social mediated.
Yeah, he social mediated. He gives them impeachment unilaterally without a vote, but they still aren't happy. Enjoy, Kevin. Enjoy. What a colossal shit show the House GOP caucus is. Fred Wellman just said, ha 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 ha. And then he goes, they are eating themselves alive. What a bunch of rabid clowns.
They really are stupid. They really are stupid.
God. Okay. So that was the Gaetz gambit.
Should I play a song for Matt Gaetz?
Yes.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, cause nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
I got it down. Good. I know when the bow, bow, and it ends. I finally cut.
That was great.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kevin McCarthy plans to formally endorse an impeachment inquiry into Biden. You forgot. Okay. So. My comments, I made notes for you here. First of all, the headline was from, I forgot, NBC maybe? Trump, and I added Trump puppet. So the headline was Trump puppet, my words, Kevin McCarthy plans to formally endorse an impeachment inquiry into Biden. And I said, you forgot to try to make him unelectable and without cause. And impeach for what? Building back the economy and saving American lives after Trump crimed his way through his own term. And it's all for their vile little base, their little scroungy base, for getting donations, for trying to get elected again, and distracting from all the criming that Trump has done, all to make Biden appear as corrupt as Trump, negating and normalizing Trump's crimes in order to erase them. That's all this is. It's all political bullshit. And so... when people write about, well, I'm going to get into Empty Wheel's comments on the media, but when the media writes about it, they neglect to say that very often. They couch it just as news. Oh, look what he's doing. Not here's why he's doing it, which is what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. Kyle Griffin said, coward. Kevin McCarthy refused to take questions from reporters about his support for the inquiry.
No.
Yeah. He's such a little putz. There ought to be a putz song. Do you have any putz little clips from anybody
putz?
Making a song about a putz? Oh, we got to do that. Mm-hmm. Jake Sherman said, McCarthy says, Comer, Jason Smith, I don't know who Jason Smith is, and Jim Jordan will lead the impeachment inquiry. And Aaron Rupar says, what, is Krusty the Krusty the Clown busy? I blew that with a... Mm-hmm. A little fumble there, but that's okay. And LOL GOP said, and this is my last quip on it, Joe Biden to be impeached for the high crime of not giving Republicans any reason to impeach him.
No shit. Really? I mean, it's true. That's the thing. Donald Trump was impeached because he broke laws. He was guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors and felonies, it turns out. So go figure. He deserved to be impeached. Joe Biden.
That's why they're doing this. They're trying to desensitize us to impeachment,
yep.
make Trump's impeachment as if it's just a part of everyday governing or whatever you want to call what they're doing. They're doing everything they can to just normalize it while appealing to the base and getting votes and getting donations. Now here's Empty Wheel on it. I've got a little paragraph on Empty Wheel. She says there was a Washington Post piece, and she quotes, impeachment and budget problems are crashing into each other in the House and creating a difficult fall for McCarthy and House Republicans. Okay, that was the headline. And she says that headline, that piece that they wrote, unlike all the breathless reporting that Big Kev will embrace an impeachment based on no evidence, makes it clear impeachment is now just a bargaining chip because all the media is going along with it. She says that is, it makes the corruption of the impeachment inquiry the story itself.
Right.
And yes, I do plan to make the abysmal coverage of Republican embrace of impeachment a thing. She's been all over this all day. Any single mention of impeachment should start first and foremost by saying that even GOPers admit that they have no evidence of wrongdoing. Anything less is not journalism. And that's what I was trying to explain. They should always frame it the way Marcy is framing it.
Well, always. And here's the thing. Look, I try not to heap too much criticism on the media as one big entity.
Yeah.
Because there are some good reporters and journalists and there are some really bad ones.
Yeah.
But,
agreed.
You know, there is a trend that's really disturbing. And you know it, this whole focus on Joe Biden's age, he's old and infirm.
Yeah.
First of all, yes,
I'm
he's
so
old.
Glad you,
He's old. You got that. So is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is 3 years younger than Joe Biden. They're both old men. And if you ask me, they're both too old for the job. But nobody asked me. And it looks like it's those are going to be the two people. So what does the media do? As almost a whole, they focus on Joe Biden's age and they push this trope that he's infirm. And so just look at what he did over the last few days. He took this trip to India and Vietnam and met with the Chinese president. And, that would be a lot for me. And he did it at 81. So the New York Times prints a story and they're all honing in on the quip on and Joe Biden is a gaffe machine. He always has been.
Of course, he always has been.
During that press conference, when he's answering the question, he's like, I don't know about you, but I'm going to sleep. It was a joke, but
so
more than that,
they
were
that.
Tired. Even the reporters were tired. So the New York Times has the headline, quote, "It is evening, isn't it? An 80-year-old president's whirlwind trip." And the subtitle says, President Biden went to Asia with a diplomatic to-do list, but he also wanted to show he remains up to the rigors of globe-trotting statesmanship.
He wanted to show.
So Philip Gurevich, I don't even know who this person is. Philip Gurevich tweets that picture, that part from the Times and says, yeah. What the hell, New York Times? Biden pulls off an extremely impressive diplomatic mission. And instead of explaining what all he did, you troll his age and fitness with a crack he made to reporters who were themselves bleary trying to keep up with his energy and focus. This is just gross. Yes,
exactly.
It is.
Now you
and
led
then,
me directly.
Wait, one more thing. Then Heather Cox Richardson retweeted this whole thing, Philip Gurevich's tweeting of this article. And she wrote,
who is this? I'm sorry.
Heather Cox Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
She wrote, okay. Here's what I don't get. This administration's reworking of global relationships is the biggest story in at least a generation in foreign affairs, probably more. Why on earth would you downplay that major story to focus on Biden's well-earned weariness after an epic all-nighter?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. An empty wheel. Okay, you led me right into my next whole segment on it with empty wheel here. She said, oops. She quotes Nate Silver. Nate Silver put out, it's extremely sane for voters to ask whether man who would be 86 at end of term should be president. It's a salient and newsworthy question. The better argument is that media should also cover how Trump is old. Okay, old as fuck. I'm sorry, old as fuck. Marcy says, ever notice how age has replaced mental acuity and temperament? Now that's really astute. Even on Trump's best days, he spent most of the morning raging at Fox, which far more easily DQs him than age does for disqualifies him.
Yes.
Than age does for either him or Biden.
No now, shit. Does anybody remember executive time? He didn't go down to the Oval Office till 11, 12 o'clock.
Exactly. Now add in the fact that Trump is far less healthy than Biden.
Right.
Does Biden run the government competently even if he takes a nap? Yes, because he's an experienced executive with a proven ability to delegate to experienced executives. Did Trump ever do that? Mark Meadows gave sworn testimony he couldn't manage Trump because he was chicken shit. So that was her take on it.
Yep.
Really good take.
Mm-hmm.
Really
good take. By the way, you want more of that? Marcy Wheeler will be here tomorrow. Mañana.
Yes, she does.
Wednesday with Wheeler.
Oh, you figured it out. Yay.
Well, just for this week. We don't know what day it's going to be. So for
this
week, it's Wednesday with Wheeler. Once I get settled in Arizona, and then Marcy was on vacation. She broke her foot.
Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, we've got a lot in common.
Sounds familiar,
course,
huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I broke my toe once.
Yeah.
So that the frustration after your show, I always need a drink. I don't take one, but I wish I just always I come away like I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Not you.
I use the medical
news.
Marijuana. That's what the minute the show ends. That's why it sometimes takes me a while to get the podcast posted because, I do everything myself. But once I take a hit or two, I move in slow motion. Yeah.
This is, now we're off into a different topic.
Yeah.
I have a big fat one coming up, but here's a quickie. This is from the recount, and you've seen this. Trump's Georgia co-defendant, Rudy Giuliani, you know, Rudy Caluti.
I do.
He has fallen so far that Newsmax is the only network now that will talk to the man who was New York City mayor on 9/11. Of course, on 9/11, he blew it.
Yes,
people
he did.
People don't talk about that.
No.
He failed to provide first responders with working walkie-talkies.
Yep.
He did a bunch of things. But now only Newsmax will talk to that loser. They're probably afraid they get hair dye on their mics. But, Rudy has fallen. He's going to keep falling.
Mm-hmm.
He really should have fallen 30, 40 years ago. He's just horrible. He's a horrible person. All right, here's a big fat one for you. This is a big long one.
Okay.
So just jump in whenever you want because it's a big fat one.
Of course.
Okay, so this is about Trump's lawyers wanting Judge Chutkan to recuse for previous statements that they say gave the, quote, appearance of bias. Interesting, they never came out right to accusing her of being biased against Trump. It's the appearance of bias, which of course is important, but they can't even pin her down on anything. Judge Chutkan has, in connection with other cases, suggested that Trump should be, this is them, prosecuted and imprisoned. Such statements made before this case began and without due process are inherently disqualifying, Trump's attorneys wrote in a filing. Okay, that's the setup.
Okay.
It's the bullshit setup.
Bullshit.
Andrew Weissman said, this filing to remove Judge Chutkan is made for Trump's base, as it is way off the mark legally. And to boot, it should have been filed long ago, not after her ruling on a trial date.
Hello.
They waited, a month to do this?
You know,
and they just came around to it?
I don't know how Rudy ever had a career as a lawyer. You know, remember, I mean, look at all the batshit crazy things he's done. But he's all, you know, in the defamation case of Ruby and Shay, the two women that he defamed and he lost, he admitted that he defamed them. And then he's like, I didn't really say that. I just said it for the purposes of the... Are you that stupid? How can you be that fucking stupid?
What about Eastman? Eastman says, well, we're going to break the law a little bit again. I don't know his exact words. We're going to mildly break the law. I can't remember the word he used. But
that's, you know what? Though that's the problem, because these people, and I use the term loosely, think they're above the law. They like the Supreme Court justices. They think their shit doesn't stink. They think that they're allowed, because they're above it all, to take bribes and to go on private jets and yachts and trips. And
well, they rationalize everything. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, here's Empty Wheel's take on what I just told you.
Okay.
Trump asks Chutkan to recuse because she said things about January 6th virtually indistinguishable from what most other D.C. judges have said about the sad sacks whose lives Trump convinced to squander, including Trump appointees. Desperate man playing stupid journalist. Context? There comes a time in every sentencing where the D.C. judge, appointed by either party, says, quote, sorry, you threw your life away because you believed Donnie Trump, but you're still responsible for your own actions, unquote. They all say some version of it, saying that some dupe from South Carolina or Florida shouldn't be excused because they were stupid enough to believe Trump is not biased against Trump. Notable, Todd Blanche, who has no problem with Aileen Cannon's past reversal substantiating bias, signed this motion. And then she had a motion up there. And also, every lawyer, I may be reading some other ones, I don't remember, but every lawyer has said, that first of all, this happened in 2022, 2021 and 2022. So it doesn't even apply to this case. She was talking about in court the defendants of January 6th, the schlubs who went in there, the thugs.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
She did what she was supposed to do and said what she was supposed to say. So it doesn't even, it's not even about this case.
Right.
Kyle Cheney said both statements Trump cites for Chutkan's recusal, oh, here we go, were made at sentencings after defendants explicitly argued they did what they did because of Trump. Both have been reported about for well over a month.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Holland, our buddy Josh Holland, says Aileen Cannon a MAGA activist in a black robe whose rulings in Trump's favor were eviscerated on appeal is the only judge whom he hasn't attacked or tried to get kicked off his case. Mm-hmm. That fact should probably feature prominently in news stories about his latest effort to get Chutkan to refuse.
Wow.
Recuse, I'm sorry. And finally, Terry Canfield, who I know blocked you, said in the motion, Trump's lawyers selectively edited sentences from case law, but if you read closely, whether she recuses is entirely discretional, which means that an appeal really has no chance.
Okay.
One good thing about Terry, and I'm so sorry that she blocked you, and she shouldn't have, and she probably would take it back.
No, she wouldn't. We kind of had an argument. No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, whatever. Is she's really
she's kind of
passionate.
Well, okay, that's one word.
Mm-hmm.
That's yours. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sure she's a very nice lady.
No, she's very strong-willed, and she has openly admitted it on Mastodon. She says, I get cranky at people. I know.
I mean, I do too. So that's the thing. I can't, don't throw stones. I can be a bitch. I'm horrible to some people. I can be real. When I get in a mood, don't come near me. You don't want to cross me. So I get it. I do it too. So, but, you know, maybe we're too alike. I don't know.
You know what? Maybe that could be. Maybe she was projecting a little too.
Without a doubt.
Or at least identifying. I don't know. I'm not aware of what happened. But,
it was just, I hate to use the word now because someone has sort of hijacked it, but sanctimonious. A little sanctimonious. Mm-hmm. A little,
Okay. Well, anyway, she's very good at her, she does these blog posts and she breaks everything down and she is very good at it.
But she'll get really mad at you if you don't read and agree with every word. That's the problem. So anyway, go on. Continue.
Yeah. All right. That's the end of that topic of Chutkan.
Okay. I actually have a story and I can't believe I'm going to say these words, but even the stop clock is right, twice a day. There's a headline that I a while ago I recounted the story of how I'm not real good with business and numbers. The thing I'm good about with money is spending it. I'm just not good at that end of it. But I decided to go through my credit cards and see what my interest rate is on all these cards. And I wound up dumping my American Express because they had me at 29.99% APR. My FICO score is 770 or something. And that's bullshit. And I called them and like, well, you were 2 days late on one bill. It's like, fuck you. Cancel this card. I'm not doing business with you anymore. But I look at them all. Now, the best rates I have are from Discover, who I really, as far as credit card companies go, as much as you can like them, they're great. Discover and my credit union. They're the only ones that are under 14%. All the others are all in the 20s. And that's usurious. That should be against the law. It used to be. Well, Josh Hawley, of all people, plans to introduce legislation that would set an 18% cap on credit card interest rates.
Oh, okay. I'll give him credit for that.
I'll give him credit for that one, too. And the Democrats, I'll say it out loud, should have done this years ago. But you know why they didn't? Here's where my honesty, and I will criticize when criticism is due.
Oh, absolutely.
Joe Biden, senator from Delaware, credit card land, bent over backwards to appease the credit card companies, as did his successors there, Chris Coons and the other one whose name I'm not thinking of. They're not, it doesn't mean D always good, R always bad. Josh Hawley is heinous and horrible, but in this case, thank you. It should be capped at 15%. It should be capped at, 5% over prime. Let them make their 5%, but quit robbing us.
Absolutely right. I said something good. I can't remember who it was about. It was a Republican. And you know who it was? It was Brian Kemp when he came out against that commission to dump Bonnie Willis, where they could impeach her or whatever they want to do. Not impeach, but take her out. And I posted the article about that, and I think I gave it a thumbs up or something. It was just some minor little comment.
Uh-huh.
Like, good, Like, good. That's good. And somebody jumped all over me and told me, how, you know, basically, how dare you compliment somebody who did all these bad things and listed some horrible things. You know, of course he did horrible things. He supported Trump. But we're allowed to point out when something good comes out of some horrible person,
yeah,
without approving.
Right.
That
it doesn't
person.
Mean you're saying that they're good all around. It means that they did one decent thing in their life. And by the way, credit both Environmental Coffee House, Sandy and Caroline. They're all saying, hold on, you know, Hawley's not the only one. AOC and Bernie introduced legislation in 2019, capping it at 15%. And the Republicans said, hell no. So, and Caroline said, Hawley's not the only one that has tried to decrease interest. You might not remember that early on, Obama got a bill passed that had to do with interest. It helps me to this day. I don't think anything on interest rates that passed in 2008 or 9, which is early in Obama's administration, can help you today. Because anything he did back then is gone. They don't last. So, but good. I'm glad it helped you. We need help now. 25% to 30% APR on credit cards is robbery. It's disgusting. Yeah. It should be illegal.
Absolutely. That's crazy.
Yep.
That reminds me of, I always forget things and it doesn't, so it's not going to make any sense. You go to a storefront and you take out a loan, day loaners or something.
Oh, day. You're right. Yeah.
What's it? Yeah. And how they just, you know,
payday loans, payday loans.
Yeah. Thank you.
So they'll give you an advance on your paycheck, I guess, or something that
something like that.
They and charge usurious rates. But that's what the credit card companies are doing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what this reminds me of. And the payday loan people got a lot of attention on various, you know, news broadcasts and stuff.
Yep.
They should be doing the same for credit cards.
They absolutely
they're all
should.
Beholden to them. So why would they?
Yep.
It's like I know you may play the Canada tape that you were showing me.
It's Canada.
Like we're all beholden, you know, all the countries are beholden to big oil, and you know, Canada, that's their biggest income. I mean, you know, where I live in Port Moody, you look across the inlet, which is gorgeous, which I've sent out pictures. You've seen pictures of it that I've sent. Mm-hmm. And there are always big tankers sitting and waiting to be loaded up. Because, and everywhere, like you look along the water's edge, wherever you are, whether it's in Vancouver or, you know, further inland where there's inlets, there's always some oil reference, whether it's tankers or whether it's pipelines. You see kind of pipes or factory type looking thing. What do you call the big industrial, I don't know what you call where oil is pumped or something.
The derricks or the drills or whatever.
Not the drills, but just where you see that they're processing it or something. Yeah. It's just some big
refineries.
Like refineries. A refinery, and it goes into a boat from there, but they're not that big. But anyway, my point is that everywhere you go in Canada, or at least I'm sorry, in where I am in BC, you see that stuff. And it's so distressing because, you know, of course they need the money because that's what they need, but you don't want it to do something green then.
Right. Right. You know, this is the perfect lead-in to that clip. I had forgotten. Yeah. I played it for you earlier, but I'm going to play it now because this group...
Okay. It's so funny.
I forget the name of the group who produces these things. They're based in Australia, and they usually... And you guys have seen them because I've played them. They usually do these honest government ads about the Australian government. Every once in a while, they pick on the U.S. Well, now they're going for Canada. Laffy, this one's for you. Here we
Visit Canada, land of beauty and home to countless vanishing wonders. Affordable housing, the green belt, the news, honest prices, honesty in general, and of course, trees that aren't on fucking fire. It's also home to an array of dangerous parasites. A message from the Government of Canada. Hello, you probably know us as the peaceful, polite, nature-loving country with the woke babe PM and the friendly horsey police. But actually, as Bae said...
Canada is a major oil and gas producing country.
And if you get between us and the oil and gas, we'll politely kick your fucking door in.
Breaking down the door.
Any questions? Good. Now please rise for our national anthem.
Just out for a rip, are you, bud? Just out for a rip.
As you know, we're experiencing the worst fires in our history. But rest assured, we're searching for the arsonists. And when we find them, we'll give them billions in subsidies. We know who they are. Some of us even work for them. What's that? You thought our job was to keep Canadians safe? Aw, sweetie. Our job's to keep them safe from Canadians. Our prime marketer doesn't even try to hide it. Like that time he declared a climate emergency and then approved an oil pipeline the very next day. Cool and normal. A message from the government of British Columbia. Visit BC, home to yep, another pipeline. Introducing the Coastal Gas Link. Uh-oh. If completed, it'll carry fracked gas from the Montney Play to the coast so that a bunch of foreign companies can export it and make a lot of the ching-ching. Don't worry, BC will earn billions in revenue too, which once you subtract the billions of subsidies we gave those guys to build it, comes to approximately... Fuck all, eh? Is it safe? Of course not. Here's a destroyed wetland, because going around it would have cost a bit more. Here's a salmon stream nuked by a landslide. And here's our regulator giving zero fucks because it's been captured by the gas industry. Will it cause emissions? Put it this way. This is the tar sands. And this is the Montney Play, Canada's largest carbon bomb. Are we insane? Absolutely. That's why we've already approved three more pipelines here once Coastal Gas Link is completed. The only thing standing in the way of this massive fuck you to every living thing on the planet is a sovereign First Nation that has the temerity to still exist. The Wet'suwet'en. They've told Coastal Gas Link to piss off, because this is their yinta, their land, which is completely and utterly, true, according to our own Supreme Court. But don't worry, Bay is committed to reconciliation. Unless it clashes with his holidays, of course. And nothing says reconciliation like raids, constant surveillance, harassment, and threats. Relax, it's not like we're waging a war on the Wet'suwet'en. We've outsourced that role to a message from the U.S. Army. Did you know that before serving as CIA director and getting his ass fired for boning his biographer, this four-star Army general wrote our field manual for how to wage war on local populations? We used it in Iraq and Afghanistan. So yeah, when this did. Wall Street firm, which owns Coastal Gas Link, hired Dave to run their internal CIA, he said, hey, I'm a massive piece of shit. Let's use those same tactics against this peaceful sovereign nation defending its lands. Tactics like buying off band councils to get their consent. As Dave said, money is ammunition. Delegitimizing those who can't be bought off. Props to BC's court for helping with that. And most importantly, get local forces to do the fighting. To put a friendly face on a foreign campaign. And who better than Canada's friendly horsey police? Except now they look like this. Meet their commander, whose previous job was running similar ops in Afghanistan. Yep, under General Petraeus. And lastly, kicking in their door and dragging people off their lands. By the way, no conflict of interest with the Mounties Pension Fund having millions invested in this pipeline. Coastal Gas Link. And that's how you make Canadians subsidize a pipeline through unceded indigenous territory in the midst of a climate emergency, all for the profit of foreign corporations and a Wall Street warlord. Canada! Enjoy your visit, and remember, you too can support this shitfuckery by continuing to do business with these banks who are funding it. Whatever you do, don't support the Wet'suwet'en at yintaaccess.com and unistoten.com. Visit Canada. P.S. We're also arming the Saudis. A message from the government of
That is, yes, and support the Wet'suwet'en at yintaaccess.com and unistoten.camp. Honest government ads from Juice Media. That's the name of the group, and they are Australian. And Muttley is in the chat room today, and he's in Australia, and he knows them. Yes, they're brilliant. Ooh. And that was so good.
It was so good.
And you know what? Watch it a few times, because I've seen, this is like the third time I've seen it now. And each time I see it, I watch it, I see something new. It's brilliant, quite brilliant, and so cutting and biting. Humor. Humor cuts through, gets a lot of information across in a very compelling way.
It's the best communicator.
Yep.
Because it's memorable.
Right. And that's why Jon Stewart was so successful, because he did it so well. He used humor to make important points. And that's what Juice Media is doing. Really good stuff.
It draws people in. It creates an intimacy with your audience. And then that message penetrates even better.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
I know, because I used to do comedy. I know stuff. I know comedy stuff.
Yeah. See, so there's like John Doe in the chat room. My blood's boiling. And someone else said, I want to laugh, but this is making me so mad. But it is funny.
I know.
And so that, again, you can find that video. You know what? I'll post the video on my blog today along with the show. It'll be at NicoleSandler.com/9-12-23. That's how I always post the shows, with a date in that format. And at the very end, they put those addresses you know, to help those people, the indigenous people of Canada. Yeah. It was very good.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great stuff.
All right. With that. Oh, we're at the end of the hour. Look at that. Oh, how time flies when we're having fun. So, Laffy, this will be the last time I will be talking to you from this studio.
God, that's so weird.
Yeah. And so
isn't
when,
that weird
when,
for you?
It is weird for me. Again, this room, I should show you what this room looks like now. It's honestly not that different than what it usually looks like, but it's here. You want to see? Hold on. I bet I can.
Hold on.
I'm going to take you for a little. Okay.
Oh yeah. Wow. You exploded it.
This is, here's my mess. This is my studio.
That's not bad though.
There's you. No, this is just the,
hi.
Where are you? Hold on. I can't find
you. I don't know. I'm here somewhere.
There you are.
Hi. Hello.
See, you're up on that monitor. But then we have this, you know, my board and then my main monitor in front of us. And then, but yeah, here's all the, you know, the messy stuff that I got to still pack.
I know that overwhelming feeling of looking at that
it's
and
fun.
Knowing you have to put it all somewhere.
All of it. And, you know, this is going to be really the last room that I pack up because I'm keeping
You'll be using it.
Show going until through Friday.
Absolutely.
So anyway.
Oh God. And then I'm leaving. You're leaving what day?
Probably Tuesday. Probably a week from today we'll be on the road.
I'm leaving the 21st, which what day of the week is that? Saturday?
21st.
Thursday?
The 21st is the Thursday.
Thursday. So 2 days after you.
Yep. Hey, maybe
on the road. Yeah,
okay. So I'm gonna do this thing on the road. Yeah. If I'm not sick from a vaccine or something, Amazon has this app. It's called Amp, and it lets you do like a live radio show and play music and take calls and stuff. So maybe we can coordinate when you're on the road and we're on the road. We could do like a thing, a live broadcast together or something. You want to try?
I would do that. I would say yes immediately, except, and I keep trying to notice where this happens, but it's impossible to anticipate. I lose connection constantly on the road. Constantly.
I probably will too.
You probably would too. It's maybe, I don't know, it depends on where where you're traveling through. We go high up in the mountains to get where we're going and then down again. And then we also go out in the middle of nowhere in deserts and fields and things like that. So we all the time, it drives me nuts because I'll be in the middle trying to send something out and I can't. So I would hate to commit to that. We can try, but I can't promise you.
Right. Well, we can try. Look, everything. Yeah. This is why I'm preparing 3 weeks worth of shows to air.
Yeah, right.
We'll do other stuff, but at least those shows will air on Progressive Voices during my 5 to 6 o'clock Eastern hour. So I know that's covered. Anything else is gravy, and I'll try to do other stuff along the way.
Well, we can definitely try. We'll definitely coordinate if we can and picks and do, even if it's for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and just shoot the shit about whatever just went on.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Woo-hoo.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Nettie. Okay.
Oh, we gotta do the Mal ladies because I gotta tell you everything hurts.
Nettie.
Yeah.
I got no pains today.
You got no pains today.
I got no pains
today. How could you have no pains
today? I don't understand
I got
what's
this
happening. It
pain in
bad.
My neck. It got good. It does.
Oh,
I'm not
God.
Here, and I do the stuff,
aye,
and
aye,
I.
Aye.
It's the worst. And
then I can't even tell you. But did I tell you that Nana's coming to visit?
Is she?
Hold on. I think she's over there. Hello, this is Nana.
And Nana, you've got
to pay off.
What is the payoff?
The payoff is that I talk like this. That's the payoff.
You have a very low, deep voice, Nana.
Yeah, Nana has a low voice. You know, it's funny. This is based on my husband's grandmother, Ida. I think her name is Ida. I don't remember her name. Anyway, but she always carried her purse. Even if she was at a party, she would hold it. God forbid anybody should touch her purse. And she was very short and had black hair, and it never got gray. It was black.
Oh, and, of course. Right.
She was a real pain in the ass, and she'd always hold on to me when she talked to me and try to monopolize me a lot. No, she didn't do that. She wasn't warm and fuzzy.
Oh. Okay.
She was just.
Oh, she was just Nana. You want to know
she
the payoff.
She was just Nana. Darling, darling, let me talk to you. Darling, you look great today. Darling. Yeah, well, why don't you feed the dogs? Howard, why don't you feed the dogs? All right. So she would just do things. You want to know the payoff? And she'd always end up with some little
Want to know the payoff? With a payoff, does it? Did she have a payoff?
No, she never paid off. I never got a red cent.
Shit. Shit. Damn it.
Oh well.
Oh well. We'll have to make our own payoff.
Yeah, we'll make our own payoff.
All right.
Anyway,
next time we'll have. By the time, look, we're moved. You know, you make the trek up to Canada. We get to Arizona. We move. I'll be loading shit in and out of the pods. Finding a place to live. I'll have many maladies yeah, for the maladies to complain about.
The car trips, I'm in pain after the first day. How many miles do you have to travel from where you are now to where you're going?
Oh, God. I don't know. Thousands.
About. Because we go about, I think it's about 1,500 every time.
Oh, hold on.
One way.
Okay. Miles from Coral Springs, Florida to Phoenix, AZ.
Phoenix.
Well, it says 33 hours here. 1,960 miles, 60.73 miles.
What is it?
Although this one says 2,333 miles. It depends which one you ask. Trippy, who's a little trippy, says 2,333 miles. It'll take 36 hours and 5 minutes to drive. I like that 5 minutes. And then distance between cities says it is... Oh, I see. By car, 2,330. It's 2,330 miles by car.
That's okay. Yeah, we travel about 3,000 per trip.
Well, that's going both ways, right? This is
going both ways. Yeah. You're doing it all in one big hunk.
Yep.
Yuck.
Blech. I'm so looking forward to it. Not.
Yeah.
No.
What fun.
Not really.
And yeah. What a blast! All right. Well. We'll keep each other posted on where we can get our COVID shots and when.
Yes. All right.
And hope that we can, we can manage.
Well, I'll talk to you soon. Travel
I'll talk
safely.
To you soon, hon.
Okay. All right. Bye. And you guys,
thanks,
thank
everyone.
You. But we got a triptych. Rick Smith said, remember the triptychs with AAA?
Mm-hmm.
We got one because we need to figure out where we want to start. And they still do the whole printed booklet thing. Plus,
yeah, they're great.
It has a QR code that you can zoom in on and open it on your phone.
No way.
Do you believe it? It's wild.
That's great. I love it.
Okay. Motley
said,
okay. You too. You too. Yeah. And I'll talk to you soon. And
okay.
I'll talk to you guys later. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Empty Wheel is here. Marcy Wheeler's here tomorrow. So, you know, don't be late because you'll miss 25 things if you're like 2 minutes late. So just, you know, public service announcement. All right. See you tomorrow. Bye, Laffy. See ya on the Mastodons.
Yes.
And others. Bye.
Bye.